It is Tuesday, the 2nd of September, and this is episode 220 of Digital Outbox. What's that? It's like 20. I am Chris, hosting today, joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris. I am Ian, not hosting today.
Yeah, I said hosting today, like that's something unusual. I think we've slipped into a regular now, right?
You're the host.
Can I put it on my CV now?
Everybody knows you're the best.
Yeah. It's only because I actually don't know what's going on.
You are the... Let's leave it there.
Yeah. All right, let's leave it there, but let's get on with some news. I've got a long journey tomorrow, so I got to get this done. So we are on let's rock on. Ready for this?
Get on with it. Jesus Christ.
Amazon. They kind of usurped our announcement. We said that that Twitch was going to be acquired by Google, and Amazon slipped in just after we finished podcast last week. We almost had a very, very early exclusive. But they just after the podcast last week, they said, right, Amazon bought us reportedly around $1 billion. Wow.
I always wonder. I mean, they bought them for $970 million. Why just not $1 billion? What is
Yeah, but you say that. I've said this before. It's about like footballers pay. $970 million is still $30 million cheaper than $1 billion. And that's an awful lot of cash.
That is true.
It's like football salaries. Now they have to go up in one millions rather than in several hundred thousands.
So this is a big... I'm just going to get you back on track rather than talk about football salaries.
Yes, we're fast today, fast.
it's a big deal for Amazon because everybody, as we did, we'd all jumped the bandwagon. Google are going to buy it, supplements YouTube. Makes a great addition to them, gets a hold of that, you know, eyes and advertisers, etc. And Amazon bought them.
Yeah, much better fit for YouTube, right?
Yeah, but then again, it's probably a much better play for Amazon because it gives them something they've not got right now. And they are chasing, you know, so we've all got probably, you know, through Prime or through something else, you know, they are pushing heavy on the streaming side of things. So this is a big kind of feather in the cap for Amazon.
Maybe they'll hook it in with all those other streaming services and stuff. But yeah, it's like I say, for me, a bit turn left at the traffic lights, but they have got the infrastructure behind them as well. So they're probably one of the only other companies that do. So good for them. Well, I'm not sure it's necessarily the better fit, but there you go. That's me. Dropbox, they have come forward and they've beefed up their offering. So if you're a pro subscriber, you would have had an email last week like I did saying, we're giving you loads of storage and we're going to have some more features coming out soon. No increase in price currently. So they're kind of now matching what Google are charging for their terabyte. So you get a terabyte of storage now rather than the 100 gigs.
And they kind of had to, because when Google did their price kind of announcements and the price drops and their sizing, Microsoft were doing much the same as well. You know, it was like, there's loads of disk space and it's dead cheap. And Dropbox looked expensive.
I think Microsoft Cloud has more of an effect on this than the Google side of things. Because I think Dropbox has that consumer... what's the word I'm looking for? Basically, it's in the minds of the consumer, whereas Google Drive really isn't. People wouldn't know what Google Drive is, really. But SkyDrive, or whatever they had to end up calling it.
OneDrive.
So that I think has more penetration just because they've hooked it in with all the Office apps and things like that.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
Anyway, I mean, they had to do it. They have done it. And again, I think it just where they had that consumer lead, I think they can keep it. So that's what they're going after. They're not necessarily going after the corporate idea. They're going after the consumers.
No, and the nice thing, if you were a pro subscriber, this is like a big upgrade for you. You know, so it's like
this 10, is massive. I mean, this is 100 gigs. I wasn't anywhere near having, but it just means you can now use it as a proper backup and full document storage, even heavy documents like video files and stuff. And really no issue now.
Yep, and I'm actually thinking, you know, because I've been using what have I ended up using? Backblaze. I think I ended up using for Backblaze, but for doing like that online, you know, backup of drives. I'm now thinking, Maybe you just go for this and say $100 a year.
It's done. About basically, it comes through about £75, I think, is the invoice
amount. But then I was just on, because Microsoft, and I know it's a slight time, Microsoft updated all their iOS apps again today, like their Excels and stuff, and it said on it new cheaper pricing. I thought that's a bit sudden. But what they've done is they've now announced monthly pricing. So I jumped on their website and it's like £4 or £5 a month.
It gives you about £50 a year, basically.
But you can get a plan that gives you a license for Office for either a PC or Mac, access to the tools on iOS, a terabyte of storage for £60 a year.
Yeah, so you're getting all that extra on top of the storage as well.
It's just quite a nice deal. You know, that's like, wow, to get that license copy plus, you know, get it everywhere. It's like, so there's some, but then Dropbox is tied everything. But then you just start to think, well, if I'm going to use it as a kind of backup-y thing, do you just go, you just pump for OneDrive and then say, I get a Microsoft Office license for free? So there's some interesting options there.
Yeah, kind of, we're in that horrible intermediate phase though, where there's lots of options and it's kind of hard to just pick one. So just go with one and stick with it. See what happens. Instagram has launched Hyperlapse. Now, Hyperlapse is this amazing technology which basically allows you to time-lapse your sort of handheld video camcordering, say through your phone or whatever. And if it sounds familiar, that's because we talked about this maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, because Microsoft launched Hyperlapse 2 weeks ago. Exactly the same name. So what's going on there?
I don't know, because I saw this pop up and I'm thinking, was this? And I thought, no, surely not. Facebook and Instagram have licensed this. That can't be right. And they've not. This is their own. Based on, they had another technology that they kind of announced last year. And it looks like kind of some sort of scary coincidence that they've both called it Hyperlapse.
I wonder whether neither of them could lock it down.
But then, to me, it just sums up Microsoft. They do some amazing stuff in the labs, but they just don't seem to get stuff out.
And that's it. The Hyperlapse from Microsoft was definitely a lab product as far as they were just showing off as a technology. It wasn't a mature thing. And Instagram have come out here and said, well, this is something that you can have. If you've got an iPhone or an iOS device, it's not Android, because they would need to do some firmware upgrades on the way the camera works and things before they can do it. They want to do an Android version, but they can't at the moment.
Yeah, which I was a bit surprised at. But there you go.
Yeah, most of the time it's the other way around, right? So things are more open on Android, but I guess this one is just not where it's plugged in heavily enough. Sorry.
Have you tried it?
No. I haven't got on. I've got my iPad, I guess.
Ah, it's actually very nice. There's some surprisingly nice videos and works really quickly. And it's like, what the hell, yet another great
bit niche. People will find uses. If people can do amazing things with Vine, they can do good things with
exactly. And there's some stuff, like, even just I've seen some dashboard videos, you know, and it just this nice little speedy route into work. And I certainly was like, if I didn't look like a rapist when I was carrying a phone running, I would do it when I'm running, just to kind of see what it comes out like.
One of your mountain walks and like that would be probably quite a nice thing, especially sunset time.
So there's lots of different things. I'm on a choo-choo train on Thursday, so maybe try. Yeah, okay. We would try a kind of a scenic bit.
Yep.
Which basically means anywhere in Scotland.
Get you. I'm virtually making it to Scotland this weekend.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring that up just because you're bitching about that drive. Like, as if it's the longest drive in the world.
It, for me, it is.
Oh, no.
Certainly as long as I'll ever want to do it.
Oh, no, it's in Yorkshire.
I know, we have guys in our championship who drive from Scotland, North Scotland, all the time. And like every single track is like a 14-hour journey.
And you know what? See, if they heard you right now, they'd be like, cock!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're enjoying a short journey of only 6 or 7 hours.
Bloody
Google Docs have come up with an update. So they're Docs and Sheets and Slides as well. So they've upgraded their productivity suite on iOS and that now includes the ability to import Office documents.
Yep, you can open an Office doc, you can edit it, and you can save it.
So that kind of, I mean, that again...
For free.
You can see why Microsoft was sort of jumping to say we've got these new products, because there is a charge against the Microsoft products, whether it be subscription or whatever. So.
And they're not as feature rich. I mean, the Microsoft products are really, really quite, you know, you can do some really quite nice advanced things. If they're not at desktop level, bit that in between and needs are certainly more, certainly at the basic level. But if you just had to do some quick edits, then crack on.
And I have to say the desktop version, sort of the in-browser version of Sheets, I was quite amazed how far it's moved on. The online spreadsheet is just every single time you use it, it's things like right-clicking is working properly now, all the copy-pasting, all the kind of formula stuff. It's becoming, you know, much richer than we ever gave credit for.
Yeah, and even we use Docs every week for the podcast.
Yes, that always moves on.
And every month there's always a little tweak, a little change somewhere. And even just like daft things that I've got an image further down. I used to have this whole copy and paste and really
rigmarole issue.
Well.
Now
you just cut and paste and it pastes it in.
And it's not only that, you can rotate it, you can mirror it, you can edit it, you can move it around.
And for a lot of people, it's enough. That is enough.
Easy.
You know, I'm doing some uni notes, that's enough. I don't need Word.
And it's stored, it's all cloud stored, so you don't have to worry about anymore. So yeah, they've updated all those. And so yeah, it just kind of means you don't have to, you know, you can enjoy Google software on Apple products, basically. They've gone down that route, and I think it's a good route to have gone down. Twitter has launched analytics against all its users. So if you want to go and find out who's viewing, how many people are viewing your tweets at any one time, you can. You have to log in at analytics.twitter.com, and then from that moment onwards, your tweets will be analyticalized.
Yes.
That word.
My last tweet of cock and cock.
Yes.
Got 23 impressions.
Amazing. I'd be embarrassed about how low my impressions would be. But nevertheless, you just have to visit the site and then on you go. I guess, good. It's only been open to advertisers before now.
Advertisers, I think there were select people as well were probably getting access.
Probably official, whatever, blue tick people.
They're verified folk. Yeah. And I know, I did read last week, the week before, that they've got some sort of ambition to get everybody verified at some point.
Right.
Because then they become an identity, you know, provider as well.
I mean, they're already an identity provider. That adds an extra level of it, which I guess Facebook were trying to do with all their kind of real names. Google were trying to do with all their real names, and Facebook, you know, with all their don't sign up unless you're a real person type thing.
Yeah. And you can see some stats about your followers as well. So you've got a little bit of, you know, it doesn't actually tell you who exactly followed you and when, but there's a breakdown of interests, there's a breakdown of gender. There's some obvious ones about, you know, who you know, your followers also follow, which are all, it's all much of much. I mean, 12% of my followers follow you, allegedly.
Wow. Who knew? Okay, so Sky, in a move which is kind of shooting themselves in the back for their multi-screen subscription users, they have enabled Chromecast on their Sky Now, Now TV streaming.
Yeah, they just didn't really tell anybody. So they updated the apps, and lo and behold, it supports Chromecast, which everybody's got because it's like £18 to buy one now, and they give you like a £5 voucher as well, something crazy like that.
I don't think everyone's got them. I think that's probably overestimating it somewhat.
So hold on.
I have to say, mine just sits in
have
my
you got one?
Though. Yes.
I do. Have I got one? Yeah, that's everybody
that's
right
that's...
now.
There you go. Everyone on this call. yep, so they've basically done it, and good for them. But it, you know, if you've got a multi-screen now, then you're probably spending £10 you don't need to.
And why would you buy that Roku? You know, they did that type with Roku, and maybe it's just another one of these things. They'd rather be in every market rather than just on one.
Get the TV everywhere, and yep, good for them. And it does say it does enable their sling box type features now, which is great. Nude celebrities everywhere this week. Everyone was very excited by the fact that they could look at all these hacked images of nude celebrities.
Were they? Were you excited?
Well, I have to say I was more... no, I'm not going to say what I was going to say then.
Careful.
Lots going on at work. Let's put it that way. but anyway, yes, so they're trying to identify how and where these images were hacked from. No one really knows, but I've really tickled him. There you go. Yes, so... I was actually going to say 5 seconds of summer took all my attention. right.
I'm kind of glad I don't get that joke.
Yeah, that's fine. You're not down with the kids.
Is that a Rolf joke?
Well, maybe.
I'm lost. Help.
Yes, recover yourself, Ian, recover yourself. Basically, so they don't know whether these images were stolen by a phishing attack, it looks likely, or whether there's someone actually has got in via some sort of iCloud-type service hacking. Some celebrities come out saying these images have been faked, others saying those images were deleted, so they weren't even on my phone type thing.
And at the end of the day, this is a crime, this is a hack, this is people's private data. And so I've seen lots of people saying, you know, people should know better than taking nude photos, but if this was a contact list, people would be up in arms about it, so there's no different.
No,
so,
it's not.
So getting away from the kind of, like, well, you had a good time at work today looking at some photos, then, and Apple were kind of a bit quiet, but they can't be. These are, like, really big-name celebs who are out basically
They're
saying...
They're always quiet. It doesn't matter to them.
Well, I think for this it does, because you've had, what's her face? Oh, I can't remember. One of the actresses actually just said, you know, thanks iCloud, and put a little... like pizza and a little shit symbol next to it.
Right, okay.
So there's actually just
but they have, I mean, that person has no idea, so...
No, but it's all come from iCloud.
Probably that she's got password 123 as her password.
Well, and this is, so there's been lots of rumours about how this has been done, and is it been like this kind of... Because people yesterday were saying it's an iCloud hack, and they were saying, well, hold on, it's probably more like a phishing or email account, they've been taken in by something like that. And I did see some tweets tonight saying that they're looking into it's a potentially a third party company that were getting used for like social media updates, you know, like I'm in this film, I'm in Toronto today, I'm in such and such. Because they'll hand that off to like a third party to handle.
Yeah.
And they reckon there might be some leak or some kind of infiltration
in
that way.
In, yeah.
So it could be one person, it could be an infected machine. And that's what they're looking at, is maybe what's the word? The vector, that's it. That's the vector.
Good word.
Yes.
Like a movie.
I should be an analyst.
Let's take a vector on the BBC. They are basically pushing out TV shows that are encouraging kids to take up coding. So this is all part of this. They did this 30 years ago. They're going to bring it back. And basically they're starting off with sort of junior kids TV and just, I guess, putting it out there that being a coder is quite a good thing to do.
Yeah, but they're putting it on the TV. Get it on YouTube. You know what I mean? It's like kids don't watch TV anymore. So
you're an iPlayer.
Yeah, and they probably will. But so there's a whole lot of material. You go and it was kind of the usual. It was all quite hidden away. If you go to bbc.co.uk/education, and then there's some /subjects/ZFT3D2P. It's like, why can't you just have a nice, easy site?
Yeah.
But you go over there and there's a whole lot of bite-sized material, and there's three TV. Shows sound awful. Techno Babble, which is an app and gadget themed show made by a team behind Newsround. That could be okay. Absolute Genius, a spin-off of the existing CBBC show Absolute Genius, and it's Dick and Dom. Right. And then it was Nina and the Neurons Go Digital.
there's something about this that sniffs of, I can't remember the name of the blooming show, the political comedy show, kind of mockumentary thing, where they came up with this a superb idea of this app. Someone had to build an app and they got the kids to do it. Anyway, it's basically stinks of they've got this nice idea, but how are they going to actually achieve it? Coding is a hands-on thing, right? You can't just have a show that has lots of people sitting at computers.
But there is lots of material online that they're putting up as well.
Right, so it's
and they are trying to cover a fairly wide age range. I think there was it 5 to 14? So that's not...
That's bonkers. You can't cover 5 to 14.
You know, and that was one of the things. It was like, that's quite ambitious. And this is just the first thing, because this next year is like their big push.
Yeah, so this is they're starting up, getting the resources online, sort of a quiet push, and then next year they're going to build up to a much bigger sort of marketing campaign, if you like, around it.
But get it on YouTube and you'll get people watching.
Yeah.
On BBC.
Top independent school has put its lessons for free on iTunes. So this is the Stephen Peirce Foundation School in Cambridge, and it's put its A-level international baccalaureate and GCSE courses up for available on iTunes U.
Yeah, I mean, lots of American schools have done this. UK has kind of lagged slightly.
Well, universities started off big time.
In America, and then UK ones certainly have picked up. And again, but schools in America are, I think, a lot more forward than we are here. And this is it's a private school, so it's a fee-paying school, and a lot of the material they've developed themselves, but they have taken the approach, get it online, make it available to everybody, and hopefully it helps, you know, other teachers, other students.
Yeah, and they'd previously been using the same materials sort of on their kind of learning web, like their internal network. So they just decided they'd actually end up putting it on iTunes U and let anyone download it and use those materials. So I guess it gives them good publicity. It gives good material, gets good material out there. And hopefully if it encourages other people to share, then even better, because it just means that there's all sorts of material then getting put out there, which is one of the things teachers struggle with, is how do you move away from, paper and textbooks onto this kind of interactive and, you know, much more two-way learning process on online.
Yeah, I always think back to overhead projectors as well, and like those kind of clear slides and the inky pens that you used to draw in it and stuff, and you just thought, that's horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, and the teacher would pull out their slide that they'd actually, first of all, prepared like 8 years ago, and it was all starting to get a bit tatty. And
biology A-level teacher just literally sat and wrote on one of those slides throughout the lesson, and it was your job. He killed my love of biology. I loved biology at GCSE. This guy killed it. I can't even remember his name now. I blanked him out.
The thing I did chemistry and physics. Biology was dull. The thing I always remember was like second year, and it was still like the kind of general science classes in Scotland before you split into, you know, picking your physics or chemistry. And we had a red book, and it was section 6.6 or 6.6 as we called it. And it was all the human anatomy and kind of like male and female body. And I'm thinking somebody somewhere has deliberately made that section
6.6.
There was no way that's coincidental.
Welcome to your junior life at school.
And then there was like the big glass cock got pulled out, and you were showed how to put a condom on. One day I will grow to be that. Anyway.
That's iTunes U. Let's move on to Google. Where Amazon led last year, announcing that they were going to deliver packages via drone. And then they did nothing. Google have said they're going to do something now. They're doing Project Wing, and they've actually done some test deliveries via what ends up being a drone, a massive drone, 5 foot span.
Not that massive. Come on.
It's pretty big for a drone. And then it winches down your little package on a like a fishing rod type thing, and then basically hovers itself off. And this is designed basically to deliver places where delivery vans don't go. So in the middle of the Australian outback or whatever, get to there without having to go across rough terrain and stuff like that. So an interesting concept. And it sounds like they're actually doing something about it. It's not just like it's this pie in the sky idea.
No, you're right. Because the Amazon one looked like a spoof video. They looked like they'd spoofed the video and they kind of shot. They weren't even allowed to shoot the video in America. So they shot it in South America somewhere, in Mexico or something.
Their aviation rules forbid them from doing it, basically.
And Google have basically been working out in Australia, because again, their aviation rules are a bit more relaxed, and it's allowed them to develop this. And the video is fantastic. You know, you see this thing taking off. You see it flying away, and then it was like, how do you actually deliver this little package? And as you said, at first I was like, is that going to scale up the ground? And it's like, oh no, it's actually lowering it down and then letting go and then back up.
But
again,
how does it know that you've got your package? Anyway, it's beyond me, but I guess
it's Google, they're probably watching you from space. That's why they've bought the satellite firm. Nothing to do with getting all these high-res images, it's to see you've got your package and give them a little wave.
Self-driving cars and drone deliveries, it's gonna happen.
This is it. Where's my jetpack? Two years time, Google are going to do a Google I/O, and the main presenters are going to come in with their own jetpack, which you can buy for $2,000,
having first vaporized in from something, the building next door or something.
It did make me think that it's only really practical in remote areas, but it makes
sense for those areas.
Exactly. You know, and maybe when you think about that, if you do all the remote areas around the world, get loads of these, you know, drones, whatever they are, whether it's little helicopters or quadcopters or project wings, and cities are just down to, you know, normal transport right now.
Well, and the cities have already got same day delivery, you know, major cities have that. So, so you don't really have need for a drone going around a city. There you go. So looks like the future is coming. Practicalities aside, Anantech founder, so that's Anand Shimpi, is heading over to Apple. So he retired from journalism, which is what he's been famous for. He's been big on hardware reviews, and he's moved over to Apple, although it's unclear at the moment what he's going to do there. Is that right?
Yeah, no, this, I found this dramatic. So it announced he was retiring. And when it seemed like I first read he's retired, and I have never looked into like who he is and how young or old he was. But he started Anantech in 1997. He's only 32, you know, so he's announcing, the way he did it was announcing I'm retiring from like tech writing. Is he like a Mossberg? Has he been doing it for like, you know, 30 years? And he's not, he's been doing it for, I don't know, what's that, 17 years?
Still a long time in tech world.
It is, but he's famous. I mean, the reviews that he did were amazing. They just were the geekiest of geek reviews, you know, yeah. Down. And then the next day, and there was loads of people actually saying, you know, he would be a great buy for, you know, where will he go? He'd be a great buy. And people were rhyming off companies where he would be a great fit, like Intel and some other places. And then it was next day, it was like, by the way, he's going to Apple. It was like, wow. So there you go.
Well, they like their geeky stuff. They just try and hide it away, don't they? So.
Yeah, so well played, him.
Yep. Nintendo.
Oh, dear.
They announced new 3DS hardware. So it's out for us maybe next year, I think. It's out in Japan in October, just beginning of October. But basically, it's got a second... Has it got a second stylus? Is that what they're saying?
A second analog nipple.
Oh, just a second analog nipple.
So if you look...
Have I been hacked?
Yeah, it was in the iCloud leak. So if you look above the kind of ABXY button.
Oh, the little grey, sort of the small grey button. Is that an
analog
stick?
Yeah, that is an analog, another second analog stick. And they've called it an analog nub, rather than a stick. And it is really a nub.
So kind of like those touch things you used to have on your keyboard on some laptops.
Yeah, so the IBM nipple. Yeah, used to be in them. Used to be in the middle, because I think people always used to call it, oh, you can use that, and I'd be like, nipple? And they'd be like, oh, you can't call it that. So what would you call it?
Definitely a nip. It's and they were never very controllable, is what I found.
They were rubbish, because you would like, it's not moving.
It's not moving.
Oh,
as well.
It's on the screen.
it's like scrolling when you're trying to select cells in Excel.
I think.
It's not doing anything, and now I'm at cell 354 billion.
To be fair, I actually did get used to it more, and there was one reason why. I hated going to somebody else's laptop and using like the touchpad because it's all greasy. So I actually used the nipple more because it was never used. and I found it was like the cleanest part of the keyboard.
You'd hate my iPad's another 3 millimeters thick from the grease and gunk on my screen. You'd hate my product.
Yeah, there's this new nipple.
But they've coloured their buttons.
No, hold on. There's some more new. There's new shoulder buttons. New. But also they're putting in a better CPU than previous models. And I think this is a bit that could be quite controversial. There's a new game coming out that'll only work in the new one. It won't work in the old one. And that's like... Oh,
how do we release a new version without it being a new version type?
Yeah, and there's also some built-in NFC. So you can, there's some like figures that are going to, you can, you know, like little, you know, cartoon characters that you can go and touch up against it. And it's like, this seems all a bit kind of shady desperate.
But then you get, for iPhones, you get things that are only the latest version of iOS and all that kind of stuff.
You do, but it's generally like one, it's like, there's the brand new phone. This feels all a bit, this is like, because they put this in as like kind of small update, and then it's like, oh, by the way, this game's only going to work on it.
Yeah, and God knows how you're going to be in the shop and know that, you know, as a grandma buying a game, how do you know that they've got the right one for that game kind of thing?
However, you've already touched on the biggest thing. You've made the colours the same colours as original SNES.
And I saw that picture. The X, Y, A, B buttons.
I saw the picture and I was like, oh, I want that.
It's only this little splash of colour. It does look good. You can't beat primary colours, can you, basically?
It's tweaking the heart of us as old gamers. It's like, you remember this, because it did launch me into, because one of my mates on Twitter was like, oh yeah, the American ones look terrible. And I remember Shaq picked up an import SNES, a Japanese one, and it looked great. And still remember, you know, there was Ghouls and Ghosts, there was Super Mario, all looked fantastic. And I was like, I need to get one of these. And then it came out in America and it was this purple boxy piece of nonsense.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's horrid. I'm not buying that. And I remember when they announced the European version and it was going to be based in the Japanese one, I was like, woohoo! It was such a great, like, woohoo, I'm buying that. And yeah. Sorry for that digression. So that's why when I see these colours, it kind of...
Ian, you should use that anecdote at your next dinner something.
That's why I eat meals for one.
To recount it to yourself.
Because I tell these stories and I think they're great.
All right, that is the end of our news and we are running a little bit long again. So let's get...
It's 31 minutes. It's not long.
It's long. It's ages.
It's 3 minutes answering your bloody phone. Anyway.
Get your pick in there. Get it right up, yeah.
Skyforce 2014 for iOS and Android. It's basically 1942, modern day. It is free, but it does have in-app purchases and kind of subtle ads. I didn't find the ads distracting at all. And I've played through the game and didn't feel the need to like buy anything either. I got quite addicted to it. I loved it. And you can kind of complete it, but then each level gets harder and harder and harder. So you can complete the game, but you can actually unlock more. So I'm kind of running out now, but that's kind of lasted 2 weeks and maybe like 5-10 minutes, you know, a day.
And it's quite nice to play a game that has those kind of 5-10. Yeah. Is this the game I said reminded me of Swiv from
yeah, back when? Yeah, absolutely. So it was just one of these. Now that I've completed through it, it's like, yep, that's, I can recommend that. Really enjoyed it. Some bits were really hard and it was just quite...
But it's a game that was hard, but you managed to get through it to the end, which is great.
Yeah, and there's still bits that I've still to unlock, and there are bits, because they do challenges like, you know, remain untouched, so get through this whole level without getting hit once, or yeah, kill every enemy. And I do get quite obsessive about these things when I get addicted to a game. It's like, no, I have to do that.
There you go. So that's Skyforce.
2014.
Great. Okay. That is the end of this podcast. And that is the end of the podcast. I've said that once. So if you want to find out more about what we do, who we are, etc., digitaloutbox.com is our website. You can talk to us. Email is info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. If you want to find out more what I'm up to, on Twitter as CheesyUK. And I'm also on academyracer.co.uk if you want to catch up and follow along with our racing. I'm racing this weekend. Ian, where can we find you?
I am Twitter is Reaper, and I my blog is ind.net. And good luck with your racing. And fingers I should crossed. Just add that it's just come out that Apple said it was hacked in a targeted attack.
Yeah, there you go. So they got into iCloud then. So her pizza and a little turd was correct.
Yeah, we wanted to provide an update to an investigation. When we learned of the theft, we were outraged and immediately mobilised Apple's engineers, blah, 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 blah. After more than 40 hours of investigation, we have discovered that certain celebrity accounts were compromised by a very targeted attack on usernames, passwords and security questions, a practice that has become all too common on the internet. None of the cases we have investigated has resulted from any breach in any of Apple's systems, including iCloud or Find My iPhone. We continue to work with law enforcement to help identify the criminals involved. It sounds more...
They've got into the account via username, password, probably by a phishing account, third party, but actually directly accessed. But there's been no breach because you've got in via the correct method.
Yeah, so it does all sound like the kind of more socially engineering side of things and targeting, you know.
So she needs to change her password then.
Two-factor. And this is the thing, because people were saying two-factor authentication. It's like, but normals don't like that.
No.
No, it's just really hard.
You know what? I think we talked about this. Oh, God, we're dragging... We talked about Microsoft's two-factor authentication to get into the Microsoft.com or Xbox.com accounts now. And it, you know, I've got Google Authenticator on my phone, and it wants me to install and download Microsoft's own special one. And I'm like, no, I'm just not doing it.
No, I actually used a third-party one, which is quite nice, called... I know we're digressing. We'll cover it next time.
Yeah, let's cover it next time.
That's something to bring up next time. I might meet my pick next week. Although next week's is going to be a hellish podcast. So
yeah, it is already. I can't believe your pick's going to be an
author. My pick's going to be, thank Christ, that's done.
Right. All right. Let's look forward to that. I will speak to you then. Goodbye.
Cheers. Bye.
Oh, it's, my favourite two-factor authentication is Google Authenticator.
Exactly. Dinner parties for one. It's the social outcasts pick. Social outcasts pick of the week. It's Authy.
Needs its own jingle.
Yeah. It's a sexy way of doing two-factor authentication.
Oh, hang on. I can't make it stop. I'm going to take this away now.
You'd think you'd have that fixed by now. What a cock.
That's 2 minutes of my life. I'll never get back.
That's okay. If you listen to the end of the podcast, you will.